Tonight we begin our spring practice period. The topic is the spiritual nature of power, spiritual life of power. And we'll be reading Thich Nhat Hanh's book, The Art of Power, as part of our study during our practice period. And a practice period is a time when we come together as a community and we make special commitments to ourselves and to each other to devote ourselves for 8, 9, 10 weeks to having practice be the center of our lives. Having our meditation and our mindfulness practice always close in our hearts, close in our hearts and close in our hands, close in our minds. There was a series of commitments that I outlined, and maybe we can just as a community speak them. So if you remember one of those commitments, please say it.
Weekly nature walk.
Aha, yes. A weekly might walk in mindfulness in nature.
Yeah. Daily practice of 30 minutes meditation.
Sitting meditation every day for 30 minutes.
Dharma practice buddy.
A Dharma practice buddy. So before the end of the evening, we will all meet with somebody else. And it might be we'll do it by locality because it's easiest if our Dharma buddy is closer to us to get together. So to have a Dharma friend and to meet with them on a regular basis, to have tea, to practice sitting meditation. Sometimes there'll be specific practices suggested to do with your Dharma friend.
A meditation journal?
Yeah. So, you know, when we're taking it up as making our practice of mindfulness to be the center of our lives, it helps every day to know our aspiration in practice, to touch our aspiration in practice, and maybe to jot it down first thing in the morning, and then at the end of the day to take a few minutes to be in silence, to reflect on the day, reflect on our practice throughout the day, maybe make some notes of anything that might have new have arisen, some shift in ways of understanding, some practice that's particularly touched you, something that has happened to the day during the day that is confirming to who you are and what you're doing. Any others?
You participate in all of the weeks and all the activities.
That's right. And so part of our commitment, because this is something we enter together as a community practice period. It's not something we do all by ourselves. You know, our sitting in the morning is often seems by like we're doing this all by ourselves, but in fact all we have to do is to take a moment to remember that everyone who's made the commitment to the practice period is also sitting there with us, that we're not there alone at all, that we have a whole community, local community, that's practicing together with us. When we walk into the meditation hall, we bring our hands together and we bow. And we're bowing because we have made a commitment to ourselves, to each other, and to the world that we are practicing for the deepest realization and for the manifestation of peace in the world through our lives. And that is a sacred aspiration to be living for the benefit of all beings. And so we bring our hands together and we bow, we recognize that commitment we've made to ourselves and to all beings. And then when we walk across the meditation hall, each step we take, it can be almost like a prayer, you know, like the prayer of peace. The deepest thing that we wish in our lives and in the life of the world to manifest, we begin manifesting it with each step we take. And by the time we've reached our cushion, already we feel a smile inside of ourselves because we have the confidence that our steps, we know how to take steps to create what we want manifest in the world. And we realize that we're not doing this alone. We realize that everybody here in the room is doing the exact same thing. And so we feel a lot of strength from that. And when we do a practice period together, we know we're not alone. We know there's 20 or 25 people here locally doing the same thing. But also we know that our Sangha is much bigger than that as well. And we're practicing with really thousands of people around the world with the same aspiration. And it's easy to forget that because most of our lives we're living with a lot of demands on our time, a lot of things we want to accomplish, a lot of projects we want to get done, with carrying a certain amount of sorrow and distress. And all of these things come up and we forget our deepest aspirations. So for this period together, we make the commitment to practice together. We practice together when we're at our home. We're still practicing with our community. And every practice opportunity that we have to come together, to be together, we take advantage of that for the support that we receive. So I have a schedule that I'll pass out at the end of today that has the different events. We have days of mindfulness in addition to Monday nights and a non-residential retreat at the towards the end of the practice period. Yeah, so I spoke about when we enter the meditation hall, we bow. And we walk across the meditation hall in mindfulness, touching the wood, touching this tree beneath our feet with every step, being aware of the beauty of this oak tree supporting us. And when we get to our cushion, we make a little bow to our cushion because we are taking up the seat of the Buddha, the seat of awakening, to awaken to our own true nature, what is most true about us. And we're doing the same thing that the Buddha did 2,600 years ago. When he sat underneath the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya. We're taking the same seat under the same tree as the Buddha. And So when we sit down, we sit down and we bring our awareness to our breath. And because we know we are being supported by this wonderful Bodhi tree, the tree of awakening, as well as the mind of awakening, the mind of the Buddha, it's very easy to bring ourselves into the present moment because it's wonderful to be here. And indeed, we're really surrounded by trees. Right now at Mountain Lamp, we're building a new home. And when I walk into that new home, at this time, I see the wood floors, and I see the studs, and I see the plywood walls, and the plywood ceiling, and the rafters, and it's all exposed. And it's like stepping inside a tree. It's like, or inside a forest. And I feel such a profound gratitude to that forest that is there protecting, surrounding, and rooting me in my home right now. And the Buddha did the same thing, you know, when he sat under the Bodhi tree. He sat amidst the roots of the tree and brought his awareness to his breath. And when he brought his awareness to his breath, he was aware that he was breathing just like the leaves of the Bodhi tree, shining in the light, in the sunlight, taking in that energy and breathing out, and the Buddha was breathing in, and the Buddha was breathing out, and the tree was breathing in. And as he sat there, he made this vow to himself, just the kind of aspiration of reaching to the sky, his own reaching to the sun, that he wouldn't get up until he had answered the deepest questions in his heart. And the deepest question in his heart was about suffering in the world. How do I understand it? How do I hold it? How do I transform it? How do I greet it? How do I step free of it? Living even in the midst of it, how do I maintain my own freedom and peace and manifest that in the world? I think it's not so different than our own aspiration. And when we touch our aspiration, we touch the Buddha. And the Buddha said, I'm going to stay seated here with this protection, rooted here with this tree, until I understand, until I found an answer to my questions. And then he breathed in, breathed out with the tree, with the winds, with the sun rising and setting, and the moon and the stars. And it was said on the first watch of the seventh evening, he saw all his past lives. And he knew his own life had been the life at one point of a tree. Just like in each and every one of us, there are cells and molecules and atoms that have known the life of a tree. And that energy of a tree is available to us in any moment because we already know it. It's already part of who we are. So one thing we can touch in touching the power and energy of a tree is to touch our rootedness. And one of the practices that I'd like us all to take up for this next couple of weeks is the practice of standing meditation. And we can practice it right now so that, you feel comfortable with it and can take it into your daily life and touch it whenever you have the opportunity to be standing. So let's stretch our legs a little bit. And then stand up. And I think it's helpful to stand on this tree and to feel our own rootedness, the soles of our feet. And in breathing in and breathing out, knowing we're breathing the breath of trees, not literally, not metaphorically, but literally, our breath is the breath of trees. And how good it feels to stand like a tree. And we can touch our confidence, our solidity, our nobility. And we can practice like this anywhere, anytime we stand. So if we're waiting in line at the bank, there's a long queue, and we're afraid we're going to be late for something, we can simply touch our rootedness right now, breathe in and breathe out, and know that all the trees in the world are breathing with us, are standing with us, and feel that deep peace of letting go to be just here, that in this moment all things are just fine. We don't have to run anywhere. And if we're standing in line and we've been shopping in the and we haven't found everything we needed in the grocery store and we're feeling a little harried, but we are waiting patiently. Instead of waiting, we can let go of all our waiting. We can let go of all our sense of patience, needing patience for this situation, and instead feel our feet touching the earth. And the peace of breathing in the breath of trees. And it's most natural to smile. It's most easy to smile. And then we find all our impatience leaves us. And when we are there with a cashier, it's very pleasant. We have a very nice connection with them. If we're waiting for a bus, once again, we can let go of our waiting and just be there in this moment, breathing, smiling, touching the earth, hearing the sounds, letting go and feeling the peace of this moment. Thank you. if we're so busy in our lives that we don't have a chance to stand, then it's probably important for us to take this on, particularly as a practice, to find, oh, say, 5 times a day where we're just standing. If we're doing the dishes, we notice we're standing, and we practice standing meditation. No hurry, nowhere to go. Calling forth the energy of rootedness, our rootedness in this present moment, and calling forth the rootedness of trees to be our very own nature. And so this is something like you can write about in your journal, you know, like where are the places where I practice standing meditation today? Where do I stop? Where have I stopped? And gained full sovereignty over myself and touched into my connection, my bigger connection, my bigger self. So that's another practice and a commitment we can make the next couple of weeks is to practice standing meditation several times a day. Native Americans used to take, you know, some of the most beautiful trees, the local people here, and carve them into totem poles. And the totem poles were a recognition of their ancestors and the energy of their ancestors. And they would have symbols of different creatures that represented to them their ancestors. And in carving totem poles, they are recognizing something that is true also about our rootedness, and that our rootedness is not just in the present moment, but it is also in our ancestors. It is in our mothers, our father, our grandparents. And one of the things that it would be really nice to share with our Dharma buddy is some of the stories of our ancestors. For us to look at the story of our father or the story of our mother, or maybe the story we know of our grandmother, and maybe to think about the ancestor that we knew most closely, who we loved the most, we received the most love for, there was the deepest connection with, and to remember their story, to remember them, and to share it with our Dharma buddy, our Dharma friend, so that we can begin to get to know each other in that way, a little bit about our story. Because the energy of our ancestors lives within us. It lives within our very bodies in the sense of our genes, in the sense of we truly came from other people's bodies, each and every one of us. And we also live in our ancestors in that we truly come from the love of the people who raised us. And how we were treated in our families has a lot to do with how we think about ourselves now. I was talking with a friend earlier today, and they were talking about how in their sitting meditation, and this is a very common experience, that in our sitting meditation, when we breathe in and we breathe out, we come back to the present moment, we sit with our roots deep in the earth, and we feel very supported and held, and we get very still inside. And then in that stillness, something difficult arises. It might be some memory, something somebody said. And if we're really solid in our rootedness, in our awareness of our breathing, we are able to see right away what that thought is or what that feeling is and know it's there. And it is like the ancestors come to visit us. The stories that we have been told about ourselves and the stories that we have created about ourselves come to visit us. But we sit like a tree, like the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, completely aware and completely present, not blown around at all by those thoughts and those feelings. You know, one of the qualities, wonderful qualities of trees is that when there's a big storm, you know, sometimes they blow way, way over. But when the gust eases, they return to standing. And so it is when in our meditation that thoughts will come, feelings will come, and they will blow us, start to blow us right off the cushion. And we continue to breathe. And we breathe in and we breathe out until we are able to return to our rootedness. And it wasn't like we said, oh, that wind didn't exist, or oh, I don't want that wind, or oh, I better follow that wind. It's just we know what the thoughts were. We know what the feelings were. We allow ourselves to greet them, to be with them, and not get lost by them, not get blown off our cushion, not get blown away by them. Simply come back to our breath. And this is a time when, you know, our practice of smiling is very helpful. It's like to say, I know that wind came through. We breathe in and we breathe out. When there's a really strong wind, if there are many trees standing together, they don't tend to get blown over so far. There's something about a forest that provides a huge amount of protection. If you're standing out in a meadow on a really cold morning and you notice there's frost all over the ground and any wind that comes through, you know, it's really cold. Or when the sun comes up, you know, and it's beating down on you, it's really, really hot, and we're very exposed. But if there's a forest nearby and you step into the forest, you notice that it's not as cold, and it's not as windy, and it's also not as hot when the sun is out. That, again, is not a metaphor. That's the literal truth of a forest. That when there's a lot of trees, there's a lot of protection. And whatever is blowing through, whether it's wind, snow, rain, there's much less of it in the forest. When there's many trees, there's a lot of protection. And that's very much the nature of Sangha. When there's a lot of us practicing together, and we know we're together, there's a lot of strength. Sometimes, you know, in Sangha we think, oh, I like this person, and I don't like that person. Or this person I really connect with, and That person I don't connect with so well. But it's important to remember that each and every one of us, although we are different and unique and have different histories, we all come here with the same aspiration. We all come here to touch the deepest truth about our existence. We all come here in that, in a sense of love, because there already is that connection between us. And we can trust each other. And in that being together, there's a lot of protection. When the winds of difficulty in our lives blow through, we can know we're not alone. We can know that we live in a community of compassion. And we can touch that compassion within ourselves in calling each other to mind. And then even in difficulty, with that balm of compassion, that we know every person in this room is manifesting. We know we'll be okay. When it's raining and there's a terrible storm, the deer know that if they go under the trees, they'll be safe. They won't get so wet. And we as practitioners know that when there is a big storm and it's cold, and maybe we're afraid, that we go to our sangha and we sit in that still protected place, and we know we'll be okay. Another thing that trees know is that they don't have to make a lot of effort. They don't have to try really hard. They don't have to be anything different than just what they are. Cedar, oak, fir, maple. They're all different and all beautiful. They're all very special. And they know the maple tree doesn't have to try to be like an oak tree. Its mapleness is enough. And a tree doesn't have to make a lot of effort at taking the sun's energy, capturing it for us, breathing it for us. They just do that. That's their nature. They don't have to make a lot of effort to to grow. They just do that. That's just their nature. And we can touch that energy of tree, that power of trees in ourselves as well. We don't have to make a lot of effort to be present because there's no place else we live. There's nowhere else to go. It's only here. We can't really separate from ourselves. because here we are. And so we don't have to make a lot of effort in our lives to meditate or to be mindful. We simply need to remember that it is our true nature to be here, because there's nowhere else we can be. And we don't have to try to change ourselves into a meditator or into a Buddha. And we don't have to make a lot of effort to connect with each other. All of that already is there. It's already given. Where I live at Mountain Lamp, there's a very special kind of tree. They're not very common here in Western Washington, but we have two groves of them up at Mountain Lamp, Quaking Aspen. And one of the wonderful things about Quaking Aspen is that they all have the same root. They are all exactly the same tree. But they manifest, each one unique and different. And so they spread, you know, via their roots. And what's underneath, what we don't see, connects them all. They're all perfectly connected. But what we see looks different. Each one above the earth looks, some are tall, some are short, some have spreading branches, some don't have very many branches at all. The ones on the outer rims have leaves that really quake a lot in the breezes, and the ones in the inner don't quake quite so much. And that nature of the quaking aspen, we also know as something true about our nature. That at the bottom, we are all interconnected. We are all from the same root. And we all look different and act different. And yet, beneath the surface, we are all connected. The same. And this is what the Buddha realized sitting under the Bodhi tree that night 2,600 years ago. And he stood up from the tree and said, "All beings in the universe come forth to confirm me." He meant that the nature of the Bodhi tree was no different than his own nature. And that deep, profound nature, that deep interconnectedness manifests as love, as compassion. And we can touch that in the stillness, in our rootedness. In our sense of flexibility and protection. And in touching that, we begin to know the way to move in the midst of the suffering of the world. Because if we are truly all of the same nature, then how can we be anything but compassionate? How can we not feel anything but completely at home right now with whoever we're with, whatever the situation is? Because we see ourselves in everything. There's a story that that I told to Mary Wessler, who was our dear Sangha friend, who died on January 21st at the end of our 7-day retreat, but who's still very much with us. And she asked me on reading Dogen's four practices of a bodhisattva, four virtues of the bodhisattva. The last one is cooperation. And Dogen says, cooperation means non-differentiation. Non-differentiation of self and non-differentiation of others. And she said, what does that mean? And I told her the story that I'd recently read, that there once was a very learned rabbi, and he said to his congregation, how can you tell when the light of morning first arises, when the light distinguishes itself from the darkness? And everyone was kind of quiet and thoughtful, and one person said, it's when you can first tell one tree from the forest. And Rabbi said, that's a very good answer, but that's not it. And everyone was thinking this some more, and they said, well, do you know the lightness, the light from the darkness? And he said, when you look into another's face, and you see, you look into a stranger's face, and you see your own. That was the light of awakening that the Buddha touched. And it is our own practice and awakening that allows us to touch that and offer it in the world. So, practice diligently our rootedness, our touching the nature of tree, which is within us all. And when we forget about it, it's really nice to go to a place in nature and just sit under a tree and let that nature of a tree be our own strength, our own confidence, our own uprightness, our own peace, and our own rootedness. So that we learn to take refuge in those qualities that are the power of a tree. I want to pass this.
Assignments out. This is the work.
First of all, there's on one side is sort of the outline for the spring practice period, the general overview. And some of the practices for this week. So, you know, I don't have the general practices written on these sheets, but they're written on the sheet that's out in the kitchen. So we reviewed them this earlier today. Everybody remembered them. That was wonderful. You might want to jot them down, though, just to help, you know, remember, well, this is my commitment, you know, and it's my commitment to myself, it's my commitment to my Sangha, it's my commitment to awakening, it's my commitment to the Buddha mind, it's my commitment to Thich Nhat Hanh, my teacher. And and then just give yourself to it. Let the Sangha be the forest that protects and supports you. I also have registration forms for the non-residential retreat, which is in April, and I'll just put those out there. It has it has everything, all the information you need, where to send the registration form. Yeah. And I'd like to introduce the new temple keeper at Mountain Lamp, who's visiting with us. I think who's going to be doing the practice period with us as much as she can. She came down with me today from Mountain Lamp. This is Tracy. And Tracy will be receiving these and when you send them in. So, thank you all for joining us, for us joining together and practicing together this next 10, it's almost 10 weeks, it'll be supporting each other and practicing together.